Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 3:30, Joe DeCamera joins us in studio. I know we're going to talk about his book, but we have to nail down the date for the basketball. That's what we'll get, an update on the ankle, the fake ankle injury, and we'll nail down a date in February, I think, for the basketball. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 3, is Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Shiel, thank you for joining us.
Of course. What's up, my friends? How we doing?
Shiel. Great job last week keeping the streak going. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. 1-7.
Yeah.
1-7 in his picks.
Yep.
Listen, I'm just glad I don't have to make a pick today. But you know who I'll be picking next week because the streak is alive and I care about Eagles fans.
So yep. You will pick the Packers.
Turn me into a hero. You know?
That's right.
Well, the best thing to be, Shiel, was how difficult it was for you to do. You were, man, like an obstacle course. You're like, if I was really picking the game, no. Get in there and do it for the team.
That's right. As you know, I have to make picks on various platforms, my own full-time job, all that. So I felt like a bit of a fraud. But for the WIP audience, I am here to serve them. And I am the reason why this team is back on track.
There you go.
So we'll talk about their play in a second. There's two trade things I want to ask you about. The first one is the trade that they did make yesterday, trading for Michael Carter, trading John Metchie for Michael Carter II, a slot cornerback for the Jets. We cannot think of any reason to trade for a slot corner unless they're deciding to move Cooper DeJean to the outside more regularly. You know, he plays it in base, but moving Cooper DeJean to the outside, what do you think of that plan if that happens to be the plan?
I think the trade is to give them the option to do that. I don't think it's necessarily what they're going to do. So I think they're trying to figure out right now who are the best five defensive backs on this football team. Does it change based on your opponent? Does it change based on how a certain team is playing you? So now they do have that option that they have a slot corner who maybe they trust more than the other backups on the roster, where if they wanted to move Cooper DeJean to the outside, they could do that. Now, having said that, I really don't think that Vic Fangio wants to do that. I mean, Cooper DeJean is so good in the role that he's in right now as the slot corner. He's so good in the middle of the field. He's so good against the run, where I feel like if you asked Vic Fangio what would your ideal scenario be, it would be to find a second corner on the outside that I'm comfortable with and keep Cooper DeJean in the slot. But that just might not be the case. So I think this is a way where, hey, we can figure this thing out in the month, the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, see what our best combination is. And Michael Carter gives us a little flexibility there.
Yeah. And it does seem like there's not a ton of high level or even, you know, above average outside corners on the market. So if that is something they see as a need, it does seem like their ability to make that happen might be difficult in the trade market this year.
It's challenging, no doubt about it. I think if they had a guy that they liked, they probably would have made that move. But yeah, it's easier to find a slot corner. You don't have to give up the draft capital. It's just a day 3 pick swap and John Metchie. So again, I don't know that this is their ideal scenario, but they're just trying to figure it out with the options that they have.
So trade question number 2, and we just came across this audio. Charles Robinson of Yahoo said that he heard from people at high-level teams or high-level people at teams, not directly from the Eagles, that the Eagles are very, very interested in trading for Myles Garrett. And he mentioned trading three first-round picks, that Howie Roseman would trade three first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Would you do that? What do you think of that?
All right, so I'm thinking about the Micah Parsons trade was two first-round picks and the defensive tackle,
yep,
Kenny Clark. Now, there was an obstacle there, not an obstacle, but an additional layer where the team that traded for Micah Parsons now had to sign him to a new contract that made him the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL. Myles Garrett is already under contract, so you don't have that obstacle. I would do it. I would do it. Yeah. I would trade three first-round picks for Myles Garrett. I think he is on the short list. I mean, we're talking him, Micah Parsons. I don't even know who the other guy would be. I mean, it might be those
TJ
two.
Watt.
Yeah. I mean, and TJ Watt's come down a little bit. Honestly, he's a little older. He's had more injuries. But I think those two are probably on a tier by themselves. I mean, we saw it last week. Myles Garrett had five sacks in a game. So if you're talking about this window here and you're trying to win Super Bowls, I think that is a swing I would be willing to take. It's a position of need. He doesn't have a weakness. He can rush the passer. He can play the run. Opponents have to game plan for him every single week. And there has been some buzz, you know, just reading various reports out there that would the Browns now consider making that type of move as they're in this position where they just kind of need to rebuild and find a quarterback. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. So I'm a yes on that. I know it's a big swing. I know it's a steep price to pay. He's one of the few players that I would be willing to pay that price for.
Could you imagine?
I'm wondering what the reaction in Cleveland would be, Shiel, from a fan base standpoint. I mean, I grew up in Ohio as a Bengal fan. I know that old AFC Central rivalry, so I know enough about Cleveland to know this may be the greatest player since Jim Brown that played for the Cleveland Browns. I wonder if the organization has the stomach to trade away a Myles Garrett, because they decided to give him the money earlier this year when he was talking about a trade. I just wonder if they have the stomach to do it.
Well, listen, they had to have the stomach for the Deshaun Watson trade and the worst contract, yeah, in NFL franchise history and the worst trade in NFL history. So, yeah, I don't envy them. I wouldn't want to be them. I wouldn't want to see my team trade away their best player. I do wonder, you know, I hadn't seen that report until Spike just read it to me. Tanner McKee, like, they need a quarterback really bad, the Cleveland Browns. And
are we sending them Tanner McKee?
I don't want to send them Tanner.
McKee for Garrett straight up? Who says no?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean,
Spike's
the Browns,
like,
would have
no,
to
I don't want to send him Tanner McKee.
There, Jack. I mean, come on. You're not just giving McKee away. But I wonder if that would be something that, you know, in addition to some, you know, maybe,
yeah,
two first-round picks and Tanner McKee, because that's where that team is really stuck. They don't have a quarterback. They threw a bunch of darts. None of the darts hit. And now they're back to square one where they need to find a quarterback. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
I honestly, Andrew Berry is there. He's a former Eagle.
Yeah, they've made trades.
So, yeah, if you're the Browns, again, if they got the stomach to do this, it actually is the right thing to do. That's an organization that's going nowhere fast. They need to basically add a ton of talent to the team. So getting more draft picks, as great as Myles Garrett is, they won one playoff game since he's been there. You know, the year they beat Pittsburgh, I believe it was, out there in Pittsburgh with Baker Mayfield. This is a chance to sort of restart your franchise if you're Cleveland with a lot of high draft picks, get a lot of talent in there. You're not winning anything with Myles Garrett anyway.
Well, I'll say this as well. You can go – I'm sure there are examples.
He's going to want to be traded in,
yes,
a year anyway.
Yes. You can go through history. I'm sure there's an example. But there's not a ton of examples in the NFL where a team trades a player or a pick for several first-round picks, and the team that got the several first-round picks looks bad in 3 years.
Right.
You know, most times the team that gets the picks – looks fine.
They turn out doing it. Yeah,
even if it works out for the team that the player goes to.
I agree.
In the NFL, those picks are so valuable. It would be hard for the Brown. I assume they could screw it up, but it would be hard for them to screw it up.
Yeah, and they already have an extra first-round pick next,
yep,
year. You know, that Travis Hunter trade with the Jaguars. So now you're in a situation where you potentially have three first-round picks going into next year. You know, if
and then
a
two
quarterback out there, yeah, and then two, the
and
next
then two
year,
the next two the next years, year.
Yeah.
Two first round picks,
it,
the next
it
two
really
years
would set themselves up very nicely.
Okay. What if we got?
I'm trying to sell it to Andrew Berry. I'm trying to sell it now.
But what if we got a first for the wide receiver and took that first? All right. Okay, on to Eagles gameplay. You know, having watched the game, then watched the tape, if I asked you, Shiel, what was the biggest reason they had their best offensive performance of the year on Sunday? What would that reason be?
The run game got going, I think, is the biggest factor. And now you could say, all right, well, why did the run game get going? I think a big factor was Landon Dickerson looked as healthier than he has all season in this game. Like, I thought he was terrific in this game. And it was kind of boring to talk about when we would talk early in the season, like, why isn't the run game working? And a lot of times it's just like, well, the blocking isn't there. And what was there in this game? The blocking was there because Landon Dickerson was great in this game. Brett Toth looked more comfortable playing center than he did guard. And then there's some of the schematic wrinkles that they had as well that you guys have talked about, going under center more, bringing in Fred Johnson as a sixth offensive lineman. So I give them credit. They, you know, it took them a while to get there, but eventually they got there where they said, we need to make some changes. We maybe need to get out of our comfort zone, get away from some of the things we've done in the past because it's not working right now. They made those changes. And to me, it's a reason to feel pretty good about this team now as they come back after the bye, that they showed a willingness to adjust. And now they've got different buttons they can push offensively.
Yeah, I also think giving Petullo credit for the changes in scheme, absolutely. But I think the ability to get, I mean, it has to be that part of the reason they weren't under center is because Jalen wasn't comfortable with it. And even seeing a screen pass, which he hasn't done very well in the past, I think you have to give Petullo some credit there too. Not just changing things, but a quarterback who had been very used to doing things one way, getting him from point A to point B to do those other things. I know I'm projecting and guessing, but it seems like a pretty well-educated, fair guess to think that was a process as well, and Petullo deserves some credit for that as well.
Yeah, it's about, coaching is like, what is your relationship with the players? How can you get through to them? How can you have those conversations? And I don't think you're wrong. I mean, we haven't seen Jalen Hurts run a lot of under center and under center play action since he's been the Eagles quarterback. So is that a coaching thing? Is that a quarterback preference? There are quarterbacks in the NFL who don't like doing that. They don't like turning their back to the line of scrimmage. And then all of a sudden they turn around and there's a defensive end, just kind of rushing them. So I don't know that that's the case. I'm with you. That's speculation. But yes, the fact that as a group, they were able to have those conversations and say, this might not be our preferred way to play, but this is going to give us the best chance to win, which is what Jalen Hurts has been about through his entire Eagles career. I do think they deserve credit for that.
Sure. One defense question. N'Kobe Dean in the last 2 weeks has seen his snaps go up and Jahad Campbell's snaps have gone down. Now, they have to balance at some point the evolution of Jahad Campbell with winning right now. Do you think it's a mistake for them to take Jahad Campbell off the field to put N'Kobe Dean on the field?
To me, it's not kind of a game plan specific type thing. I mean, if you're facing a team that really runs the football well and you're worried about stopping the run, I think both, but first of all, I think they're both very good quality starting linebackers. But if you ask me their strengths, I would say N'Kobe Dean's a little bit better downhill, physical, making plays behind the line of scrimmage against the run. If you're in a 2-minute drill, if you're facing a team that passes the football a lot, if you're facing a team that's down 17 points and it's going to throw it a lot, I would say I would rather have Jahad Campbell there in coverage. So you don't always know what the opponent's going to do, but I think there's going to be some of that where Vic Fangio is going to look at it and say, how do I think this offense is going to attack us? And then which guy's going to get more snaps? They're both going to play. And I don't think it's a mistake. I think Jahad Campbell has already played a lot. I think he's already a quality linebacker. I think at this point in time, there are certain things Dean probably does better against the run than Jahad Campbell. And so your goal is to win. You're not benching him. You're not stunting his growth. He might just be taking some snaps on the sideline there.
So there is no midpoint of a 17-game season, right? Mm-hmm. So we are essentially at the midpoint. They played 8 games. They're at the bye. Mm-hmm. If I were to just ask you for a simple grade for the Philadelphia Eagles for the first 8 games, what would you give them?
Mm. I would probably give them a B+, I think I would say.
That's fair.
I think like week to week, if you ask me, people yeah. who listen to this sure. every week are like, what are you talking, Shield, you've been, you know, crushing them most of these weeks. What are you talking about, B plus? But now that you take a step back and you, if you tell Eagles fans, hey, in August, I would have told you, you're going to be 6-2 at the bye. You're going to be in position to win the NFC East. You're going to be in great position to compete for the one seed in the conference. And by the way, you haven't suffered, and everyone can knock on wood if they want to, you haven't suffered that devastating season-ending injury to one of your core players. You have had guys miss time, hamstring here, a little nagging injury there, but you look at some of these other teams, and they've lost, you know, one of their 3, 4, or 5 best players. They're out for the season, and they're not coming back. So even the injured guys you've had, like a Nolan Smith, those guys are coming back. So in some of the answers you found offensively, I believe, in recent weeks, I think the last two games have probably been Jalen Hurts' two best games of the season. So you add all that up, and I actually feel really good about this team going into the next 9 games here.
All right, Shiel. Well, thank you as always. We will talk to you next week at the same time. We appreciate you as always, brother.
All right, brother.
It's so nice not to have to make a pick.
Well, say the Eagles are going to lose anyway, just for, you know,
yeah, they're going to lose this week. Yes. That's right. There you go.
All right, guys.
I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Shiel. There he is. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers minutes from everywhere, online at marks-jewelers.com. Would you trade 3 first-round picks for Myles Garrett is the question. Now, I know I said I would. You said you would. Shiel said he would. Jack said he would.
He would.
What do you think the poll results are at?
It's probably mixed. People see 3 first-round picks plus the salary. They aren't ready to dive head first into that, so it's going to be closer to 55-45. Let's go 57% say they still do it.
57% say no.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, are people crazy?
I got the number right, though. That was awesome. The other way, though.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
People love draft picks. They just love draft picks.
And you hear 3 first-rounders, you're like, what?
They're not picking in the top 5.
Yeah, they're basically two. Well, hopefully not.
You know when
Billy King traded all those picks to the Celtics, he was like, oh, you kidding? We're getting Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. We're going to be here forever. And so,
they were 36. They're not 30.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Prime his career. 5 sacks over the weekend.
Yeah. That's why the Eagles are like, now's the time to do it.
Strike all the iron's hot.
Yes. Yes. Listen, the fact that the Eagles, think about this, if that report is true, the fact that the Eagles would be willing to give up 3 first-round picks says all I need to hear.
Sure. Yeah.
They're saying it's worth it, plus the contract.
Well, they were just in on Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Thank you. They were just in on Micah Parsons.
They
clearly are willing to pay whatever price it is to pay to get one of these guys.
I'll throw something else in.
What? We throw Fritz in, send him to Cleveland?
No.
I could succeed there.
No. We're throwing Broads in.
Yeah, we're getting Broads in.
Yeah.
The rat.
Yeah. I the whole day after the show yesterday, I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm thinking, you know, I checked under my car to make sure the brake lines weren't cut.
Yep,
you know, I don't know how to find that, but that's what I did. Then I got home. I made sure all the doors were locked, made sure the outside lights were on.
He is a Jersey guy, so he can get to us.
Oh, he sure can.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. I want to be the afternoon show host, Froats. And then real quick, because I asked Shiel, your grade for the Eagles at the midway.
I think a B plus is good.
Yeah.
That's a solid grade. Yeah, I agree. You know, those first four games, you may have gone D plus, C minus.
Right. So, when they were actually
4-0.
4-0, yeah.
They were actually 4-0. But yeah, I think the last couple of games certainly raises their grade. If not a B plus, maybe a B minus. It would still be a B.
Yeah, I'm at a B.
Yeah,
Jack,
it would still be a B.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, you can't erase the first six games.
No.
I know they're 4-2, but you can't erase them.
Yep.
They happened, you know. And I don't think it's likely that the offense goes back to looking like that, but it could. It wouldn't be the craziest thing to ever happen. 215-592-9494. Larry in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Larry?
Oh, I definitely would not give him the extra $2 million. He may not be able to play 38.
Yes, but I agree.
But Scott Boras, to me, had the most interesting comment. He said there's no one hitting behind Bryce to protect him, and he has figures to show it. So,
that's right.
So my feeling is they should get some kind of power hitter behind him. But the way Dombrowski is talking, it sounds like he's going to cut everybody.
Well,
he's not going to sign these free agents. Or
here's I believe, part of the conversation between Bryce and the Phillies is that it becomes very difficult to tell them to go get another player and give more money to the player that's already here when you know that they're already at sort of a peak of what they're going to spend. And that is part of the conversation. You're not getting somebody to hit behind Bryce and look, here's another thing that could happen. If they sign Kyle Schwarber, hit behind Bryce.
I thought about that too.
Yeah, hit behind Bryce. We talked about it most of leading up to the season that Kyle Schwarber should be hitting leadoff. If they had another, or not leadoff, should be hitting cleanup. If you had another guy who you could put back there, that would be great. I think ultimately the best case scenario is to find somebody who is a more natural. If Bryce is insistent on hitting three, which I think he should hit two or hit leadoff. And here's another thing. If Bryce hits leadoff, there's somebody hitting behind Bryce. So that's another thing, that if we want to go into what Scott Boras said, part of the reason that Bryce doesn't have anybody hitting behind him is because Bryce is insisting on hitting third. And he'll say that he's not insisting on hitting third, but he is. So if
that's a good thing, though, right?
No, I want him to hit leadoff or second. You know, it gives them, especially if we're not going to add some big power hitter, if we're just going to get Schwarber back, and you don't want Schwarber hitting clean. You don't want Schwarber hitting cleanup. Then, if Bryce could hit second or Bryce could hit leadoff, then you could have somebody hitting behind him. So there's a lot of push and pull to all of this, I think, you know. But I don't think what I don't think is going to happen, based on what the team has said, I don't think they're going to re-sign Schwarber and go spend a bunch of money on another player. It just doesn't seem like it's
going to
happen.
Let me ask you one other thing on football. What's with this with Michael Carter? He was a great player. Is he still a good player?
I have no idea. None of it. Thank you for the call.
Never seen him play.
Yeah, none of us know. I mean, he's getting paid, you know. I don't know. Maybe he's still a good player. Still pretty young,
yeah,
you know.
He's a good player. I mean, listen, he played for the Jets. So sometimes it's hard to determine
how good a player.
Yeah, you put him around better players and a better system. He may thrive.
Yeah, I would guess they wouldn't make that trade without having some sort of...
Yeah, they certainly think he has some value to him.
Now, he didn't cost anything.
Right.
He cost John Metchie and a pick swap, a seventh to a sixth or something like that. So, I don't know. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up next, in studio, the rat himself. No, not Broads. Different rat. We got a lot of rats here. WIP, Joe DiCamera. Joe DiCamera, who spoke poorly of me. Joe DiCamera, who has spoken poorly of Jack. Joe DiCamera, who has never spoken poorly of Ike, obviously, because who would do something like that?
He did.
Oh, right.
Harry called me the backup player.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh. He's stepping into the lion's den.
That happened once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that recently?
That won't happen again.
Was that recently?
No, that wasn't like a pregame show.
Oh, really?
No. We were here.
Yeah. I forgot. They also had an argument at the pregame show, and then it's been a while since that as well.
Oh, really?
Pregame show?
Yeah.
Oh, the camera came to the pregame show.
Yeah.
Yeah, those don't count.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm in a totally different zone.
Oh,
the
pregame
show. That's a totally different.
Yeah.
I'm just yelling for the sake of yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and DiCamera, we will talk about DiCamera's new book, which is out. Everybody here writing books. Books. Everybody's a little busybody writing books.
Yep, so, wait till I write mine.
Yep. Everybody's got to have a book. And we'll also try to nail down DeCamera on a date for Fritz versus DeCamera basketball. So that is all coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The biggest, strongest, most popular, funniest, most informative show on WIP. We are joined in studio with the host of the morning show. Little up-and-coming act happening 6 to 10 every morning. That is Joe DeCamera. Hey, Joe.
How are you, fellas?
Oh, it's such an honor to have you here.
Indeed it is.
Now,
I feel like we haven't seen you in a while since our competition died.
It didn't die. It just is taking a hiatus, I believe is the term.
I didn't even look. How's the ankle?
It's improving. It really is. It's still certainly not there. I'm not. I think I could probably run yet. I haven't been given the go-ahead in PT. My guess is that'll be sort of soon. But it's coming along. It's just taking time.
We will
examine this damn.
Oh yeah, let's look at it.
You want shoe off?
No, you don't have to.
I'll take shoe off. I'll give you shoe off.
Now
it's got a little funky expansion. Apparently that might not ever go away.
Oh, you don't put your foot on the table. It's
what do you mean funky expansion?
Well, like it's bigger.
It's definitely not bigger anymore.
It looks swollen on the outside.
Yeah, on the left side.
That's
it is.
A baby.
You're a real man. We're a bunch of cowards here. We're radio hosts.
Also, get running full speed. We saw what full speed was.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, let me just say, I wasn't going to win basketball full speed. It was going to be the Aaron McKee, you look like an older man than you are, slow man, slow and steady wins the race.
Old head YMCA basketball.
Yeah. He's going to back Chris down.
And Aaron McKee catching strays.
No. I mean, God bless him. I'm just saying he played very composed.
Can you describe how you hurt the ankle?
Yeah.
Yeah, landed on a dude's foot for a rebound.
What a war. Oh, we banging in the post?
Something in the post. It was... I don't remember what led up to it. It might have been transition, but bottom line is rebound. It was
transition.
The angel was running full court.
Yeah, they're running full court.
You know, let me tell you something. Like, no joke, I was ready. Look, whether I was going to win or lose, who knows? I think I was going to win. But cardiovascular-wise, I had really put in the time. I was running games all over Philly and down the shore, full court to be just – all I had to do was be ready for 1-1-11.
I'm sure you was
11.
In a Sunny Hill League.
Baker League. I was Baker League.
Baker League.
So we will get to this in a moment. Joe came in. We're going to talk about Joe's book, The Best of Philly Sports, Amazing Moments and Stories in Philadelphia Sports History. If you're on YouTube, there's the book, which you can get. What is the preferred place to get the book, Amazon? Or
easiest for the audience is Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
I mean, it is around town, but I would just say easiest is Amazon.
We'll get to the book in a second. We got Joe in here for an hour. We will get to the book, I promise.
He's here for an hour?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot to get in with, Joe.
Well, you guys struggling with ratings and need to call in.
We call you? Come on, man. Come on. No, I'm struggling here. No. Did you hear what... maybe that's an odd. Did you hear Broads here on the show yesterday?
No, what'd he say?
So we found out that Broads did an interview with the Philly Business Journal.
Okay.
And in the interview, it said that his goal is to host Afternoon Drive at WIP.
Oh, that he put that out to the world?
So we can.
Is he planning on reincarnation? There's a second act, or is this like the only one? Like,
well,
because you know, Spike, Ike, and Jackie are still on the sort of young side. I mean, no one's old.
You could do this for a long time.
A long time.
We have found out.
Wow.
So we did confront Broads, and it was, let me say, Broads, he was doing his Flyers bit. We interrupted it, and I asked him about it, and Broads crumbled.
Now
he stood up. He stood up, and he said he stood by it. But after that, we couldn't get it back.
Yeah.
We couldn't get the vibe back.
That's
in
wild,
the studio.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the
Stones on that kid.
Oh, could have made sure, like Coy and Ty and the like. They never said they wanted Donovan's job while they were the backup, right?
No,
right.
The only one who did that was Garcia. Remember Jeff Garcia said that.
Yeah. So all right. So let's stay on the basketball for a second. Mm-hmm. This has been, I would say two things. On one end, your performance overall has been better than most people, even I, have expected.
Thank you.
You know, on the other hand, the thing that has been exactly as expected is you are such a frail, weak, sort of decrepit physical specimen that you have been injured so many times during this, including a supposed shot in the groin, shin splints for running. Literally, what, a quarter mile?
Half.
On rubber.
Yeah, on rubber. Then this ankle injury, which is we all saw coming. So I think a little bit of this is unfair to Jack because you physically can't get through the competition, which almost should be counted as a loss in some way anyway.
Yeah, I've struggled with that. I understand. Look, I get your point. This last one was... I would not have been able to play through it. I mean, he would have won 11. No, there was no, I couldn't move.
Oh, they're begging me to play through it, Joe.
No, I applaud you, Jack. I think you handled it like a champ, like
true
for real.
Bro.
Like that was the right way to go. I hear you, Spike. I mean, this was unfortunate. I was really, honest to God, I was disappointed on so many levels. One of which was starting soon. Got to crank up that cardio again. Here we go again.
Yep.
So, you know, look, I still intend to win. I still think I'll win. I know for a lot of people, and I understand this, it's like, what's the point anymore?
No, no, no. We have to do it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I agree.
Ike has said the same thing. Ike's out. I
come out.
I don't care. You could.
You too. I'm tired of both of y'all. Dude, yeah, I'm tired of both of y'all.
You could get 10 more injuries over the next 10 years, and I am not letting this go. The whole reason I wanted this to happen was to see you two play one-on-one basketball. And in a game to 11, and I've told this to Fritz a million times, this game's going to take 2.5 hours for you guys, one of you, to score 11 points. So I want to be there for it. This is part of what I enjoy. Yep. So what we would like to do with you here is, so I had an idea for a date.
A date?
Yes.
I have a girlfriend.
No.
Oh, okay.
A date.
A calendar date.
A date for basketball. Okay. Look, we want to give you enough time.
Like, what is going on?
No. He only
wants to date Kelly Oubre.
Yes, I would not mind.
Right, yes.
Well, if I weren't married. All right. And if I, look, he's a man. I just think he's a good looking guy. We want to give you time to recover, clearly, and time to ramp up. But we also don't want to do it in the middle of Eagle season. Doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
So we thought this gives you a bunch of time, and it also really accounts for if the Eagles happen to go to the Super Bowl, is that the Super Bowl is on February 8th. 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, the following Tuesday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's February 24th. It is before we're talking about the Phillies in any meaningful capacity. It is 2.5 weeks before NFL free agency. It is after the Super Bowl. It is 3 months from now, February 24th.
Can you get in shape by then?
Yeah. I'm not worried about being in shape by then.
Lakin find the place, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, we should figure it out.
You know what's one thing I like
him
about Feb 24 is I think there's always been something nice, whether it's the Wells Fargo Center or a high school gym, walking in a basketball gym in the dead of winter.
Yes.
Like, you get in there and you feel there's a coziness. You got through the weather walking from the car or wherever.
Yep.
Here you are. And let's rock and roll with hoops. I can't speak specifically to that date, but I'll just say it sounds right about to me. Like, it sounds reasonable. But we should make it a big station event. We got to get the Ikes and the Riches of the world to convince the other naysayers out there that this should still be embraced.
Yes, of course. Don't worry.
I'm going to work on you, Ike.
I'm actually embarrassed by both of you.
What?
Well,
Well, not those two. Oh, yes, of course. Listen, you're the driving force behind this, yes.
Yeah, well,
only
at this point,
yes. With you is that you won't let it go.
No.
Well, just remember this. The driving force was when I said I'm a better athlete tonight. And then I am in the process of proving that.
No. The fact that you are not able to compete shows that you're not a better athlete. The point has been proven.
But if I win, Spike, you'll give it to me?
Oh, yeah, if you win,
you win, you definitely is.
Look,
and we ridicule him for a year.
Forget about what happens to you if you win. Think about what happens to him if he loses.
I've thought about it many times.
Yeah, it's way worse. It's way worse. I mean, he lost golf, and it was the catastrophe.
Look, you guys, and you
3 weeks
know,
being called a fat mental midget on the morning show.
That was pretty rough.
That was my favorite day of the whole thing.
Do you regret?
I didn't say that.
Well, do you regret? You know, the whole time you have said that you have held yourself to a higher standard and being classy, all that, all the while calling him names, calling us names. When you won, when Jack
mommy,
won,
mommy, daddy, we heard.
When Jack won, it was about twice. Jack won twice, right?
Yep.
It was one day in and out.
Yeah.
Really, no personal attacks. Tons of personal attacks for you guys. Mommy, daddy, Boban, fat, dumb. You know, the second one might be true, but whatever. It's mean to say it.
Here's
on the
what
air.
I'll say to that. Yeah. I talked to Bernard Hopkins one time. Did a show with him for 2 hours, and I remember asking him about the moment before the match when you look in the eyes of the other guy. And he said it really matters. Like, it's not fake. Like, you really have to get in the head of your opponent before you fight. I can candidly say everything I did in the summer and late spring was intentional.
Yeah.
And my goal was to get it to 2-2. I mean, of course, you want to win 4-0. And, you know, but I thought reasonably I could get it to 2-2 and win in game 5 in hoops. And that was my goal the whole time. And everything was purposeful.
No, was it also purposeful, before we move on to the next thing, was it always also purposeful in that I believe, now I don't have any hard evidence, but I've been around this for a long time. I've been around you for a long time. I've known Rod now for several years, you know. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed Rod, you know, to have it. I know everybody here.
Interviewed and been interviewed.
Yeah, look. Look.
You interviewed him and he interviewed you.
Yes.
God.
Well, look.
Can we get through this?
I believe that you and Rod Lakin several times colluded to make this competition better for you and worse for him.
Not true.
Golf, match play or whatever the
hell
it's called.
No, that was Jack fell for my, that's all Jack.
What did you just say?
Jack fell for my trap.
Well,
yeah,
but shouldn't Lakin be in there making sure that these things are fair?
I think it was before the focus was as intense as it got. I put it out there knowing that I could maybe get one past Jack. I did. That's Jack's fault.
The long time in between competitions is also you and Lakin colluding because you're so frail?
Well, there was vacations in there. There was a lot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, my God.
There was a lot going on.
I forgot. This guy's on the Angelo schedule at 44.
He only works half the summer.
Yeah, right.
Guys, I was on a cruise constantly on the freaking treadmill. By the way, Singletary was too over for me. Like, hey, Mike Singletary was on the cruise, and I'm doing my thing getting ready for Fritz.
Two name drops, by the way.
Yeah,
Bernard Hopkins, Mike Singletary.
Hopkins,
you got anything else? Anything else, big guy?
Yeah, George Brett was on the cruise.
And then again,
he was.
Why? Is it athletes only cruise? Mike Singletary and George Brett.
Here's my theory. They didn't make like Albert Pujols money, so they got to go on cruises with regular folk.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably
for real.
What happened. Yeah.
Well, yeah. they played in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
And then finally, because I want to get to some sports things with you before we get to the book, is you have said some, you know, we have our little rats everywhere, you
ooh,
know,
boy.
And even these rats listen to, will take the time to listen to your show, as painful as it may be. And you have said some nasty things about me. DeCamera, running from New York, that has come out of your mouth.
Sure.
You know, there have been several nasty things. And I just, are you just willing, here I am, and the YouTube folks can look at it. Are you willing to look me in the eye and tell me that I ran from New York?
Oh, for 1,000%.
Oh, really?
See, he got you in the PD job. You didn't want that. You went to come home to a little cushy, you know, be a talk to host guy. I mean, we all know that's true. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But let's not act like you succeeded up there.
Of course I succeeded.
Okay.
Right. Ratings went up. Revenue went up.
And
everybody
you
loved me. Yeah, because my job was done. Couldn't do anything more like here.
Were you Larry Brown?
Yes, my job was done. So we had a debate here, I don't know, last year when we had debate day on WIP, and it was you versus Ike. You didn't do a very good job, but I remember the debate. And the debate was, is Jalen Hurts a franchise quarterback?
No.
And I don't think it was that, but go ahead.
It was. And because you said, you sort of ruined the debate at the top by saying yes or something, even though your position was no. But you said he would not be the starting quarterback of the Eagles to start the 2026 season.
Yeah, yeah.
So where are you on Jalen
that was terrible.
At this point?
Well, look, he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. And, you know, certainly at a certain point last year, I said, well, I obviously was wrong about that. And when I declared that, I didn't say it in a way like there's no doubt about it. But I actually thought tea leaves were this thing could go off the rails with him and someone else could be the dude. Obviously, look, I think he's played really well this year. I mean, the irony is he's played really bad in certain halves, really bad in certain halves. But I think he nets out as a major positive this season. The biggest thing I'll say on a really positive level on Jalen that has not gotten enough focus this year from people like me who have been doubters, which is 20, 30, 35, 40% of the audience and the fan base, is one of the big anti-Jalen arguments was always, well, it's so easy for him with everything going right. You got this great defense. You got this great offensive line. You typically have a good running back. Last year, you had a supreme all-time running back. You got two great receivers. Like, what the heck? Of course, the table is set for you. Just don't screw it up. And this year, I feel like I can honestly say more has gone wrong for the Eagles than right. And yet, he has led them to 6-2. And that's impressive. I mean, they've had a bad pass rush. They've had a bad rushing attack. They've had an average at best offensive line. They have had a third corner or second quarter, whatever you want to call him, who's just been not good. I think the safety that's rookie Makuba gets turned around more often than not. Like, they've had a tough schedule. You know, they've had A.J. Brown drama. Like, they've had a lot of negative. They've had more injuries in the last couple of years. And yet, he has led them to 6-2, and he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for that.
So, what do you think of him as a quarterback?
I think he's certainly better than I thought. I think he's very good.
Okay.
The biggest thing about Jalen on the positive, the biggest thing by far is he just has this outrageous ability to not turn it over. And in the midst of the chaos of an NFL game for 60 minutes, it's almost beyond extraordinary. Like, I remember we all marveled when Foles had the 27-2 season or 29-2 if you include the one playoff game. But that was only like 10 or 11 games. This is like 4 or 5 years now. I mean, other than the end of 23 when he turned it over a lot. So look, am I all in on Jalen? Candidly, like, I'm not all in on Jalen.
Why not?
Because I do still see.
What else do you need to see?
Well, I do still. Well, halves where he throws for more than 1 yard. I mean,
okay,
you know,
that happens at times.
But I mean, he's had four or five bad halves. But
he's been on the whole
pretty darn good.
Everything is subjective. Bad halves, I would consider turning the ball over, things of that nature. He's not doing that.
No, he's not.
No, he's not doing that. Now, listen, he didn't complete a pass in the second half of the Tampa game. Guess who I blame that on? A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown. Forcing the ball to A.J. He was perfect in the first half of that Tampa game. Yeah. Wasn't until they went in there in the halftime and somebody's upset they didn't get a ball thrown to him that he comes out in the second half forcing the ball to A.J. Brown where he almost threw an interception there. Listen, I'm poking at you a little bit here.
I'm poking at you.
Yeah. But you said so many positive things there that it's funny because I think you're reluctant to give up that safe space in case something goes wrong.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, see,
that's fair.
Because the positive things you said there were, to me, on point.
Yeah.
The things he's had to overcome, things he's dealt with.
Way more than past year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for him to still play at the level he's been playing and getting better each week with a new offensive coordinator, he should be commended for all those things. But there's something with him in his game. And I don't think you're the only one, so I'm not. It's something with his game that won't allow some people to just say, you know what? Even though I know he's not flawless, this dude does so much more positive than he does negative. I'm willing to accept the flaws when they happen. That's where I had to get to. Honestly, that's where I had to get to. That's where I eventually had to get to. And now I'm more or less like, yeah, the bad game come and it frustrates me, the halves at times when things don't look good. Yeah. But I'm like, For the most part, we got the right guy.
I think that's reasonable.
Like, we got the right guy.
Look, I hear you, man. Here's what I'll say, probably why some of my reluctance.
And he's elite.
He's an elite winner.
Elite.
Elite winner.
At winning.
Has an elite resume.
Spike, you want to jump in here?
Well, no. Elite. On the elite thing?
Elite.
No, we've
elite.
No. In fact, he's doing it because he knows I won't jump in because I don't want to do it.
You know what the funny thing is? I had him fifth coming into the season. I still have him fifth.
I had him fifth, too.
Now it's getting harder to support.
Why got him higher than Burrow?
It's getting harder to support Lamar and Burrow as the injuries add up. But I do think a healthy Burrow and a healthy Lamar and a healthy Mahomes and a healthy Allen, I would take above Jalen. I had him fifth, and I still have him fifth. But to me, he looks like a better fifth than last year.
Time out.
Stronger. What you got?
Nope. I know a sports radio host trick when I hear it, because I work with two people that do them as well.
What's going on here?
I have him seventh. But
I have him ninth.
There is no possible way that you think he is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, and also you're not sure about him moving forward. That's a lie.
No, I just,
there's no way. you are saying he's fifth. I know this. To get people off, it is
get
a tactic. Yes. You don't really believe he's fifth, because if at
don't
any time.
Don't let him bully you.
No,
Joe.
This is true.
Hold on.
Let him do it, Ike.
If I asked any of us at any time, you have an option to have a quarterback for the Eagles who you believe is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. Are you satisfied with that? At any time in our history, we would have said, yes, sure, I will take it.
Yeah.
Yet you are saying he's the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, but you won't just say that you're comfortable with him moving forward because he had three bad halves. You don't really believe he's the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, which is okay. I'm not trying to corner you. I don't believe he's the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
I'm just not letting you get away with that.
That is a trick. It doesn't happen here on our show. Maybe it happens on your little show, but it does not happen on our show.
Do I get to retort here?
Yes.
Well, look, here's the deal. I actually thought last year he was fifth in points. You know, how it netted out at the end, because I actually thought the whole 5 through 12 fell apart. I actually thought everyone went backwards. Tua, the Herbert guy, the freaking Cousins guy, the Dak, the Purdy, everybody was gone. And so I thought he was fifth slightly by default last year. I actually think he's fifth this year on merit, like really, really, really legitimate merit. And again, the thing I come back to
is, he's playing the fifth best, or do you think he's the fifth best quarterback?
Same thing. And here's the reason, Spike. The not turning it over thing is real.
Well, then you have to commit to him moving forward if he's the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, but here's the other thing he is. And I think like this goes to the point you were bringing up a few minutes ago when you were poking at me. I used this phrase with Ross earlier this week on our show, and he thought it was a good phrase. He's annoyingly conservative. Yeah. Like, he's not just conservative. I'm watching an Eagles game, and I'm not enjoying it as much as I expect to.
Bothers me at times. Yep.
Because, like, his thing, and maybe God bless him, is a punt is better than taking a chance that it might be a touchdown or it might be an interception. And it's like, all right, well, here's another punt. But at least the ball goes 50 yards down the field by the time the other team starts. So, like, it's annoyingly conservative.
You know, I just realized why he won't commit to Jalen. How old a man are you?
I'm 47.
How long you been with your lovely Amy?
I have been with Amy for 7 years.
Still not married?
That would be correct.
This is a guy who doesn't like commitment. That's why he is not committing to Jalen Hurts.
I knew it.
All right.
Fritz, did he plan all this
in
advance?
No.
Off the top of his head.
He just smells it.
Yeah, it's a psychopath. That's the only thing I think about. All right. So coming up next, we will talk to Joe about his book. The book, if you're looking on YouTube, is The Best of Philly Sports, Amazing Moments and Stories in Philadelphia Sports History by Joe DeCamera, which you could get at Amazon. I found an amazing Amazon review, which I have to ask you about.
You.
And if you're listening and you would like to tell us which show is better, the afternoon show or the morning show, and why, 215-592-9494. Again, afternoon show or morning show, and why, 215-592-9494. More with Joe coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.